It adds more luster to the day. You know, Bowring was a man of some accomplishment. He lived in a time when, as it was said, the sun never set upon the British Empire. He wrote this, I think it was about 1825. But he really never was what you would call in the religious orders. Never became pastor or anything. He always was a civil servant. And he became a governor of Hong Kong, of all things, and because he had a facility with languages. And eventually, for that service of the British Empire, received a knighthood. But he wrote us as his guiding light in the cross of Christ. Of all the things he accomplished in life, I glory. For that it is that towers are the wrecks of time. That it is that brings me through woes, and that it is which carries me to the mountaintops of life. Not those accolades which the world has to offer, or his country, the great empire of the Britons. Because he knew that there was a greater empire yet, to which he owed his allegiance. The empire of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the cross, as Paul said in one of his letters, 1 Corinthians, was a scandal to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles, the Greeks in particular. He wrote there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe." It's not about what we can do. It's about what God has done. Says in that section of chapter 1 that Jews demand signs. In fact, it goes on to say that word can be translated even better. It's a scandal to the Jews, and it's folly to the Greeks. But is Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God? For the foolishness of God is wiser than our human wisdom. And the weakness of God, the weakness there displayed most upon the cross, where Jesus was helplessly nailed, and his blood shed for you and for me, that God saved us. As Paul closes out his letter to these churches, which he had planted, the churches in Galatia whom he loved, and was seeing led astray by false teachers, telling them that they had to return to the ritual law, which they themselves could not follow. He brings them back to this core, constant teaching. In the cross of Christ, we glory. In it and it alone, we make our boast. To the Ephesians, the letter just following this, in chapter 2, he makes the significance of the cross even clearer for us. You were dead, he says, in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live in, even when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. You know, brothers, sisters, let's think about what he's saying here. He's saying that even in our world today, this spirit of disobedience is at work among us. We see it everywhere, don't we? And what's being taught as acceptable, these very things that Paul said are an abomination, are today being said, well, let's not be quick to judge. Now, Paul is saying, in fact, as in this letter, none who do such things shall see the kingdom of God. But he does go on to say, in this passage of Ephesians in chapter 2, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Even more, it says those lusts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. He goes on just a few verses later. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not by works like these who the Galatians had coming to them saying. It's not by works that none can boast. For we are God's handiwork, you and I, who have been saved by the precious blood. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good things, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Those good things are not going to save us. No. But they're the signs that we love Him, who loved us so much that He gave His Son for us. Christianity Today's leadership once observed, if we or the world could be saved through human kindness or clear thinking, Jesus either would have formed a sensitivity group or urged us to share our feelings, or would have founded a school and asked us to have discussions together. But knowing the ways of God and the way of the world and the persistence of human sin, he took up the cross. He called his disciples, and they abandoned him when he took up the cross. But rising, he gathered them together again and formed for us the church. This church. Paul closes, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters." What's our name? It's grace. It's all about grace. As we come to the Lord today, he's bid us to follow him through a different path, freedom, by grace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, thank you that you have shown us and given to us the gift of a way in which we would never have been able to cover our sins. No one can fulfill the law. It's by grace, your gift, that we have been saved. You called us time and time again, and time again, we could not follow. And so you sent your Son, Jesus, to be for us the perfect and sufficient way of salvation. His death upon the cross, it has purged us from the curse of sin.